Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome John Bausche to the broadcast. John was most recently the President and Chief Executive Officer of Ameristar Casinos. Prior to joining Ameristar, John served as Senior Executive at Harrah's Entertainment, holding various positions within the company, including Executive Vice President of Project Development, Design, and Construction, as well as Chief Integration Officer. As a Senior Vice President, Brand Operations, Products and Services, and Chief Information Officer at Harrah's, John established corporate operating functions in order to deliver enhanced capabilities to all of Harrah's various properties, enhancing delivery of service and competitiveness while supporting the rapid growth through property expansions and company acquisitions. As Harrah's CIO, John was credited with various technological advances that today power the company's customer service and financial performance. As Vice President of Strategic Marketing for Harrah's, John developed numerous customer-centric innovations, including 800 Harrah's and the industry's first nationwide customer loyalty program. Under his leadership, the company issued the first annual survey of casino entertainment, which continues today as the profile of the American casino gambler. In 2001, Harrah's was awarded CIO's coveted Enterprise Value Award due to John's leadership of Harrah's loyalty program. And in September of 2007, John was elected to the CIO Magazine Hall of Fame. John holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Mathematics and a Master of Science degree in Applied Mathematics, both from North Carolina State University. I recently caught up with John at his home in Las Vegas. Our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, People, as he spoke about his own journey from IT Executive to Chief Executive. Principle 3, Project and Portfolio Management, as he described the importance of prioritization within IT. Principle 4, Business Alignment, as John described his own experience on both sides of the IT Business Alignment table, as well as other topics. John Bausche, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Oh, Peter, it's great to be here.
Well, John, you represent a success story that's in some ways been somewhat rare within IT circles. You're somebody who, although certainly didn't exclusively grow up within IT, had a very storied IT career at Harrah's Entertainment and Promise before that, and rose to become the CIO of that organization. In addition to having some business roles within Harrah's, you then ascended to the role of CEO of a billion-dollar organization, Ameristar. And I'm wondering, to what extent do you feel that your time as a CIO helped you prepare to become CEO, or what skills did you learn that you leveraged once you ascended to the top post of an organization?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Peter, my career objective all along was really to take on and to work in a very broad business perspective. Mm-hmm. And what I found very interesting and also developing from an information technology standpoint, and ultimately the CIO position, mm-hmm. is that you learn so much about the business. Mm-hmm. You learn about how the business operates, how accounts payable works, how marketing can work. And you begin to understand, more importantly than just how the business portions interact with each other, the information about customers or the information about the business that allows executives to make better decisions about how to move forward and about how to establish both strategies and tactics in whatever environment that they're in. Mm-hmm. As a CIO, that really played very well to honing the skills associated with having departments work together, interpersonal relationships.
Yes.
At the end of the day, I think that one of the greatest resources that any business has is their people. Mm-hmm. And so really making sure that people are in the right jobs, doing the right things, I think was an incredibly important set of lessons that learned, mm-hmm. as being a CIO.
Yes. Well, that makes a lot of sense. To what extent, as you think about the CIOs of the future, to what extent do you think that pure IT experience versus business experience, what sort of balance do you see in the IT leader of the future?
Well, you know, what I think I'd like to do is perhaps reframe that a little bit.
Okay, please.
I think that it's about how do businesses succeed.
Okay.
And within that context, information technology can play an incredibly important role of how the business succeeds, mm-hmm. but it maximizes the business's likelihood to succeed as long as the CIO is very well connected with what the business strategies are. Mm-hmm. And as long as the projects that are put in place by information technology and led by the chief information officer are progressing the agenda of the business itself. Mm-hmm. So I think to some extent, or not just to some extent, I think to a large extent, the role of the chief information officer and how it can have the greatest impact on the business is to make sure that IT understands what the business objectives are, helps to establish what those strategies are, mm-hmm. helps to establish the capabilities to achieve those objectives. Mm-hmm. And so then I think, you know, whether the person has a technology background or whether they have a business background perhaps becomes a little less relevant, as long as they're then surrounding themselves with people who complement their own personal skills.
I see.
If an individual has great, you know, technical background, then, you know, surround yourself with other individuals who can help you maintain or enhance the connectedness with the business.
I see.
Or vice versa. Mm-hmm. But therein lies, I think, one of the real challenges that businesses have today, which is making sure that information technology is incredibly aligned with what its objectives are, mm-hmm. and then making sure that you know every dollar that's being spent is in the furtherance of the company's agenda.
Mm-hmm. As you think about the CIO context that you have, do you feel like, in some ways, I almost feel it's unfair, you are a person who embodies the ability to translate business needs into IT. When you were most recently CIO at Harrah's, you also held a business role.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you had reason to be in the thick of the business decisions. You were making them yourself, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious, for those IT executives who don't yet have that sort of experience, who are attempting to begin to learn the language of the rest of the business, of finance, of metrics, and incorporating better metrics, and building those bridges with the business divisions of the organization, what advice can you offer?
Well, I think first and foremost, I'd say your success, I would encourage you to view your success mm-hmm. as being measured by the success of those in the business.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't just be measured by how well does one deliver or how well does your organization deliver an IT project.
Okay.
It's not about is it on time or on target or on budget,
exactly.
Just purely from an IT perspective.
Yes.
Importantly, it's really got to be viewed from the shoes and the eyes and the perspective of somebody in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where I'd start, which really says from a mindset standpoint,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you just have to fundamentally believe that IT exists to improve the performance of the business.
Yes.
And yes, IT can enable the business mm-hmm. and cause it to achieve things that otherwise without it could not achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But it really needs to be very linked up with what the opportunities and or threats are of a business.
That makes a lot of sense. I wonder, having spent a long time now in the gaming industry and having entered it at a time it was very different from today, when it was believed to be much more of a relationship business, to be the sort of business where people that worked for the casino and the people who were gaming in the casino were shaking hands and meeting each other as individuals, and the thought of technology being a real enabler of business value was not really thought about much at all. I wonder if you can think back in history from the early days of your time in the industry and walk us through some of the ahas that occurred to you as you realized, really in some ways, as among, if not the first in the industry, to realize the power that information could bring to this.
Yeah, well, I think the casino industry actually was in a very fortunate position in that regard, because information was always important mm-hmm. when dealing with guests.
I see.
One of the roles that the host would provide mm-hmm. or the casino managers would provide is one of knowing who the customers were and knowing who the customers are about having information about the customer. Mm-hmm. You know, David's wife's name is Sally, and they have three children, and they just celebrated their anniversary. And a portion of how one managed the relationships
mm-hmm.
was was through information. Mm-hmm. The fact that it was in people's gray cells or between their ears, mm-hmm. as opposed to being in a system somewhere, still was one of, there was fundamentally perceived value.
I see.
From having, about having information mm-hmm. About customers.
Yes.
Now, what was one of the challenges that that created, because it wasn't in a system, if a host decided to move from one casino to another, all of a sudden they took those customer relationships with them.
Yes.
So the loyalty that existed between the customer and the entity was with the host, not necessarily with the casino company that the customer visited.
Yes.
So, but I think, again, I think that the casino industry in general was fortunate from that perspective. So at least in the environment that we were working with at Harrah's, there was a lot of value attributed to having information, and also a lot of risk aversion of getting that information into systems as opposed to just keeping it between the ears of our host.
Yes.
The difficulty came in giving that information in a way that was digestible, understandable, easily accessed by hundreds of employees across the Harrah's organization. Mm-hmm. But I think the role that information played, and the fact that at least at Harrah's, there were tremendous investments in the management of information, the creation of the first industry-wide customer database,
exactly.
The creation of the first national loyalty program, the creation of the first yield management system that really, exactly. You know, embedded in it a view of what the profitability was on the expected profitability on a customer-by-customer basis.
Yes.
The way the way Harrah's lays out its slot floors, the merchandising decisions that are made, all of that was really empowered by a lot of the technology programs that got put in place.
Mm-hmm.
So technology was really viewed as an aid to helping to manage all of the information and create insights that management could act upon better, quicker, and have a better cycle time of understanding whether the right decisions were made.
And as a result, the organization could be knit together a little bit differently as well, rather than having people that work in an individual casino only contemplate their own casino as it relates to the customer, but rather thinking about the full value the company can gain by developing a strong relationship with that customer.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing that powered a lot of the accomplishments of I think any business that's mm-hmm. really focused on information technology as a potential competitive weapon,
yes,
is the fact that it not only provided an opportunity to knit together various properties,
yes,
but it also knit together various departments
mm-hmm.
that heretofore might have been somewhat siloed.
Yes.
The fact that now information could be accessible so that a financial planning and analysis person could evaluate the effectiveness of a marketing program mm-hmm. that was put in place because of feedback that was received by hosts based upon their conversations with their guests mm-hmm. and then be able to track because of the detailed kind of transaction-oriented information
mm-hmm.
that Harrah's had about what guests did in the future
mm-hmm.
as a result of all of those decisions that got made,
yes.
caused departments to be able to interact with each other more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think along with that, it also, as there were more successful projects,
mm-hmm.
as people invested their time and attention in projects and bringing those projects to fruition and then seeing what the success was, there was a natural reduction in the fear that sometimes accompanies the decision to move forward with an IT project.
I see.
Because there was a track record of success,
mm-hmm.
of how to manage information, how to take that information with the technology assistance, how to take that information and present it to people in a way that's now more actionable, whether the people are customers who can now book their own reservations or whether it's to analysts who can now make better decisions about, you know, where to place slot machines on the floor.
Yes.
the fact is that the trepidation that companies many times have in deciding to move into an information technology kind of project starts to strip away, especially as they have a track record of success.
I see. That makes a lot of sense. As you think about the path that you've taken in your career, do you, for the reasons you stated, do you think that we're going to see an increasing number of CIOs who eventually make it to the post as CEO?
I would think that it's going to be much more of a two-way street.
Okay.
And by that I mean, I think that there are going to be people from the business mm-hmm. that get into information technology and become CIOs and
yes.
then roll themselves into other portions of the business.
Yes.
And there are going to be people who are within information technology who demonstrate a leadership set of qualities and a leadership set of capabilities
yes.
that then you know, move on into other positions, including chief executive
mm-hmm.
officers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and frankly, I think that is a very good dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
We all learn, I think, what it's like when we have to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. And, you know, if I just reflect upon my own situation, you know, I was in charge of marketing at the time that Harrah's came to the conclusion that we wanted to establish a branded approach and that we wanted to establish a nationally recognized loyalty program.
Yes.
I thought it was great that I could define that direction and not have to implement it. And then lo and behold, I had the opportunity to become chief information officer and have to implement it.
Yes.
I kind of wish I had just stayed on the marketing side, at least for several of those years. I might have more hair today than I do. But in any event, I think the perspective
mm-hmm.
that comes from having direct accountability for other areas mm-hmm. and how then those areas view other departments throughout the business
mm-hmm.
helps an individual to interact with those other departments better as a result of that experience. And if someone aspires to be to have a broad leadership set of responsibilities within a company, to be a chief operating officer, to be a chief administrative officer, or chief executive officer, then I think having more and more perspective about each of those areas across the business can be very helpful in you know, making sure that they have the empathy that many great leaders have. That can really accomplish a lot.
That makes good sense. Another post that you've held is a different kind of CIO. You were the chief integration officer for a time, and your roles, of course, went well beyond IT.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I wonder if you could talk a little bit.
In fact, much more beyond IT than anything. Yeah.
Exactly. I wonder though if you can reflect chief among the integrations that you were responsible for was the merger between Harrah's and Caesars, of
mm-hmm.
course. And I wonder if you can talk a bit about the IT implications of mergers like that and how organizations who are contemplating, especially something as daunting as essentially a merger of equals
mm-hmm.
size-wise,
mm-hmm.
How one organizes that, how one prioritizes things, how one replaces systems, replaces people, where appropriate, while also maintaining what's special about the organization that you have just bought. Probably one of the main reasons why you have bought it, that there is in
mm-hmm.
fact something special about
mm-hmm.
it. How does one, what is the push and pull of that?
So now you realize that you've just put me really on the spot, because we have a limited amount of time to try to describe you know, something that was that was huge to the creation of the world's largest casino
exactly.
company. But
yeah.
So I'll try to distill it to a couple of key things.
Great.
First and foremost, and again, I go back to what was the business objective.
Yes.
Because I think that provides so much direction and so much guidance into, therefore, what are the challenges and or implications to an information technology kind of organization.
Yes.
So first and foremost, this was the creation, as you described it, of a merger of equals to create the world's largest casino company.
Exactly.
There are all sorts of social issues that come about when you're bringing together two organizations. Harrah's was actually acquiring Caesars, and so many of the people within Caesars are thinking they're going to lose their job.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real environment of fear and things like that. So what was done very early on with the Caesars integration was to try to get people past all of that, and instead look to the future to say, here's what the company is going to be about. And that became very empowering. Number one, it helped us be able to get everybody, including people on the IT side of the organization within Caesars, but it allowed us to get the 55,000 employees at Caesars to be able to think past the acquisition and toward the future of, we're now going to be with the world's largest casino company. Mm-hmm. And with that comes scales of economy. With that comes scales of expertise. Mm-hmm. Harrah's had a reputation by that point of having, you know, accomplished a lot in the marketing environment and the operating support from an information technology. And frankly, the Caesars properties really wanted to have a lot of the same kinds of capabilities.
Yes.
So by focusing on the future, mm-hmm. it really allowed the integration now to move forward without the kind of fear and trepidation that many times comes with an integration.
Yes.
In terms of the project management of all of that,
yes.
I think that we established, along with the overall kind of vision of what the company was going to be, we also established some very clear criteria about how we were going to plan the integration of the companies. And, you know, there were, I guess, probably 8 to 12, you know, key aspects of that. The ones that come most to mind, however, I think are the ones that are really sticking with us. So I think a lot of the key criteria that we set was, first and foremost, Harrah's wanted to combine with Caesars in order to create a stronger financial company. Mm-hmm. So the one of the key guiding principles was, show me the money. In everything that we did, it was around, what are the synergies going to be? Mm-hmm. Or more importantly than synergies, because I think a lot of times people think of synergies as just, how do we reduce cost of a combined entity?
Yes.
And in this situation, it really was not about how do we reduce cost. Less than one out of every $3 of value came from reducing cost. Mm. Where the real synergies came from were bringing together the things that Caesars was doing well and applying it more broadly to Harrah's, and the things that Harrah's was doing very well and applying it to Caesars. And so show me the money became a portion of the mantra that really allowed us to make sure that with the thousands of things that we could be doing, it was about, how do we make this one of the most successful integrations and acquisitions of not only the casino industry, but business in general. Secondly, there was a very important component, which is to recognize that we're dealing with people. And so we had a set of criteria around the communication that we put in place with the Caesars individual, and also the communication that we put in place with the Harrah's folks. Because we didn't want to spend so much time communicating with Caesars that the Harrah's folks didn't feel like they knew what they were doing. And so it was a very important component, the combination of, let's make sure that we know what we're trying to achieve from a financial standpoint, and let's make sure that we're communicating well across the organizations, both Harrah's and Caesars, in as seamless a way as we could, given, you know, FTC restrictions and stuff
yes.
like that.
Yes.
So I think then perhaps the final thing is just to recognize that those kinds of things are huge projects, and they require an outstanding attention to project management details. The criteria that we had provided clarity around prioritization. The resources that we applied provided clarity around the prioritization, and we're really in sync with the priorities that we established.
Yes.
And we also deliberately decided not only what do we need to do, but what do we not need to do? What can be pushed off until after the acquisition and until after the integration was well under speeds. So I think those are, you know, at least in not now that was 3 years ago or so, those are the kinds of things that pretty much come top to mind.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. I wonder as you look forward now, we've just gone through an exercise that asks you to look backward. As you look forward, what are some of the things that are exciting you about technology, about tools or processes or systems or capabilities that are arising that you see changing the IT department, changing the corporation, creative ideas that you think have a broader life within corporate America?
Well, I think to talk a little bit about looking forward, to first focus on a minute about looking backwards, I think the accessibility to information that the internet mm-hmm. has provided
yes.
to all of us has been a very empowering and really changing the way business operates.
Yes.
So if I start with, because I think, you know, a fundamental thread that I hope the listeners kind of take away from this
yes.
is starting with whoever the consumer is of the goods or services that a business is providing. Mm-hmm. So if we start with the end consumer, I think what's really great about what's happening from a technology standpoint is that things are converging more and more. Mm-hmm. That frankly makes it easier on me as a consumer. Mm-hmm. The fact that I don't have to figure out how to put three or four things together, and instead, you know, it just all kind of magically happens.
Yes.
Now allows me to accomplish what I as a consumer want to accomplish, which is I don't want to be talking to a help desk. I don't want to figure out how to install this, that, and another. What I really want to do is I want to figure out where can I go buy a 27-inch LCD television that has all of the capabilities that I want and has a performance that I want at the best price that I can get. Mm-hmm. So this accessibility to information and the convergence and convenience of the various devices that allow us to do that, I think is just a huge improvement to a consumer kind of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I think unfortunately what it does, in the absence of branding, it commoditizes a lot of businesses. So, one of the other things that I'm personally kind of fascinated in is how it is and which companies are really, you know, branding themselves. Mm-hmm. And because of their brand reputation, they are able to maintain loyalty. I mean, let's take eBay.
Yes.
You know, there are others who do things like eBay does. Mm-hmm. And yet, if you ask anybody, you know, who's an online auction? It's eBay.
Exactly.
Where do you buy things from? eBay or Amazon, or you know.
Exactly.
So I think that the role of branding in a more information accessible kind of environment is a very interesting changing mm-hmm. kind of situation in business in general.
That makes a lot of sense. An advantage that Microsoft continues to have, and we'll see how long it does, but mm-hmm. with a lot of the tools they've developed and the tremendous brand that they have. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see the competition between Google and Microsoft, even for, you know, the PowerPoints, Words, Excels of the world, and the equivalents now that have been developed elsewhere.
Right, exactly.
Well, very good. Well, John Bausch, thank you so much for taking time with us today. It's been a great pleasure. I was especially excited about this interview because several years ago, our own world-class IT journey began together, and the definition of the methodology that we use behind this. And so, mm-hmm. I'm so pleased we had a chance to sit down and chat.
Well, I'm glad we did too, Peter. And you know, it's really, as I think about that journey, you know, again, at the heart of that, it was about how does a business mm-hmm. improve its competitive position?
Yes.
And then once we understood that, we then started to build the IT organization to substantiate the capabilities necessary for, at the time, Harrah's,
exactly.
to be able to accomplish what it wanted to accomplish. And that's really, I think, you know, those people in information technology that put the business first and then support the business's objectives through their leadership of information technology are going to be the winners in the future, whether they stay in information technology or not.
Mm-hmm. Great point. Well, you're certainly the embodiment of those very ideas.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, John.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. This forum has been created so that we might have a series of discussions with a variety of IT leaders to understand, evaluate, and define world-class performance as it relates to Meta Strategies' five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it's nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in a reactive mode, constantly fighting fires. If systems and hardware work reliably, on the other hand, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It's important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important first and foremost that the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and quality assurance, through to support and all the other aspects of the IT department, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important then that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business. If the three prior principles, namely people, infrastructure, and project and portfolio management, are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial aspect to corporations, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, or please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. Thank you.